Hi folks, welcome to Clan Chat. Nobody's hiding this week, as you can see, and we've got another great array of guests to join us to talk about what's happening in their lives right now. As you can see, Gareth Chalmers, the Chief Operating Officer, is with us, stepping in as a last-minute substitute for Jerry, who's for some reason unavailable. Matt Haywood's here as well, back after such good time with us last week with Matt Keith. And as you can see, former coach Pete Russell joins us from his home down in Wiltshire. Pete, good of you to join us today. How are you getting on?
Good, thanks. Well, it could be better, but it's we're spoiled for about 6 weeks, so good.
Excellent. Yeah, it's no different up here.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Well, good to have you all on board. We'll have a chat about what's happening. Just as we did last week, we're just going to wing it, basically, just see where the conversation takes us. But we'll start with Pete, of course, our special guest this week. Pete, it's about a year since you left the clan. How much have you enjoyed life in Germany since you decided to leave us?
Yeah, it's good. I think it was everything I thought it would be an experience, and obviously went pretty good. So I guess I can't moan about it. I really enjoyed it. I think probably helped me become a better coach a little bit, and it was new surroundings. I had to try lots of different things. And, I really, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to getting back.
Any sign of you getting back? We see in Germany, of course, the football's back on. Very different in ice hockey, I suppose. But have you had word of when you're likely to be heading back over?
No, I think there's a... they're still saying it might start on time, but I think they have another meeting in this month, and I think there's every chance it'll maybe be delayed. We don't know for sure, but that's what people are saying. Not only from the club, but other people I met are telling me they think it could be delayed a bit. Hopefully there is some hockey, the same as in the UK. I hope that it all comes together for everybody.
Excellent. Well, Gareth, you're joining us this week as a late substitute for Jerry. Tell us about the process that got Pete involved with the club in the first place?
Good question. I think Pete, personally for me, Pete's always been on our radar. I've known Pete for about 15 years now. Going back to his days in Swindon and Slough, he was always somebody that I kept an eye on. And obviously when he went to Milton Keynes, and Milton Keynes moved up the Elite League, John obviously moved on, we let John go, and we were looking for somebody, and Pete was our number one target from day one, and thankfully we got him. I just reached out to him, asked him if he'd be interested in coming, and I think it was pretty straightforward, wasn't it, Pete? I think it went pretty straightforward, yeah. And we got the guy that we wanted.
Yeah, for sure, it wasn't really a tough decision, I don't think.
And Matt, you knew Pete from before as well. How much did you enjoy working with him when he was with us last year?
Well, I obviously knew what to expect with Pete. I've known him since I was about 12, 13, so I knew the exact type of team he was going to make in Glasgow, and I knew it would suit the fans. And I think it took us a few games for everyone to realise what we were all about, but as soon as we did find that identity, I think we went on that incredible run, and I think we won 20 games out of 22 or something like that. So definitely the right man for the job for the rebuild we were doing at that point.
And I remember when you were announced, Pete, it was during the playoff finals weekend. I was there, obviously, working with the league at the time. Gareth gave me a ton of extra work to do that Sunday afternoon before the final as well. But the rumour mill had been flying. They'd seen you in the clan box that weekend as well. Couldn't really keep it quiet then, could we?
No, it was obviously, it's pretty interesting when you think they probably didn't want me to come there, and then when I left, they didn't want me to leave. So it was a kind of quick turnaround. And I think it was like, for me, it was, people don't believe it. It was something I always wanted to do. You know, I was born in Bells Hill Hospital, and I lived until I think I was 3 or 4 in Rutherglen area. And then we moved to Ayr, and all my family live in Glasgow and around that area. And it was always something I wanted to come back and do. And I probably thought I'd stay a lot longer than I did, but sometimes things happen that way, and in sport kind of happens. But I know the year I had there was fantastic. Like, I loved it. I think it's funny, something that Woody just said, like, I kept talking about identity and, and the values and how Glasgow people see things. And I think once the Glasgow fans seen that, and I got them, understood the people, I think that gave me a real connection to them, and I think I know they don't believe it, but it was tough to not go back after that. I had a long-term deal there, Gareth, hasn't he said that? Like, I had a 3-year contract there the first year I signed, and it wasn't that there was plans, let's get out of there, it was just something came. In fact, something came earlier than that, and I said no. And then when it came again, I just, you know, when we was going over all ground again, I just thought it was an opportunity as a British coach and to do something not many get a chance to do.
Now, the first players you brought in were players that we already knew. You can obviously attest to this. Zach Fitzgerald came back. Scott Pitt came back as well. Later, Matt Becker. From your point of view, Matt, as a teammate, how glad did you see these guys were coming back to Glasgow?
Yeah, I think the year before Pete, when we had Tripper, I think we did lose connection with the fans. And obviously, people like Fitzy and Pitt and that, obviously, all the fans, the big, heavy fans' favourites. So I think that bringing those guys back as a core group of imports who knew the club, knew the league, knew the values of everything, like Pete said, it's, what more can you want as a solid foundation to build upon from that? So everything we did that year was just smart and definitely the right thing to do.
Gareth, from your point of view, the year before when you brought John in, it seemed to take a while. You brought John in kind of, dare I say, late on in the summer, maybe around about June time, and the Brits like Matt and Peacock and all that had all come back. It was just a matter of bringing the imports on. You learned a lot from that year, didn't you?
Yeah, I think like that season as well, we'd actually gone after Pete. Milton Keynes had come up from the Elite League, and obviously Pete was already under contract with Milton Keynes. And I did have discussions with him, and he decided, you know, out of respect to the ownership down there, to see it through in the first year in the Elite League. And you know, bringing John in late certainly handicapped the whole situation. So we were really up against it from early June. But yeah, we took a lot away from it. We knew that we needed to keep a core. We needed to sign a couple of guys quite early, i.e. Fitzy, Pitter and Becker. It was very important that we got those guys in, had a foundation to build on and push on. And in fairness to Pete, when we started talking to Pete, said all the right things. He talked about identity and bringing the connection back with the fan base, and he certainly done that.
And Pete, back to you again. Just when you did finally get started and you came to Glasgow, the guys all came together. You know, that group of guys that you had, did you know? Well, not that did you know, but did you have an idea they would go on and do as well as they did? Were you always confident that that group you had was going to see the distance with you?
Yeah, well, they'd done it before in Glasgow, so that, you know, you need to, you know, when you're a fan, you want to be able to come to the rink and know what you're coming to, and you want favourite players. And, you know, I'd coached against Bex all year, Petty, Jared Hansen, like all those guys in Manchester, my conference, and they were, Manchester were the real deal the year before. Then I put the right team together. Well, I know a lot came from Glasgow, but I was pretty ahead at that time. But as soon as Gareth and I were talking, and I knew, because it was a lot easier the second year, because I knew I was leaving Milton Keynes. So, you know, it was a lot easier to put a team together, because you could kind of, he said, you've got this to spend and you can spend it how you want. So I kind of thought, okay, well, I want to get him and him. And I wanted to recruit within the league as well. So we try and build a team that can handle the league. And I knew it would take 6 to 8 weeks till we got going. So I never panicked at the start. Woody will tell you, there was no negativity. I never panicked at all when it wasn't going just as well at the start. Didn't worry me at all. I thought we had a really good team. I thought the balance was good we had. And the biggest thing was, the most important thing was, we had good people. And there was a great buzz in the room. Like, the guys were good guys. Like, they were excited or working hard at practice. So it was just a matter of time. You know, and guys like Pitt and Becker had career year, were unreal together that year. And, you know, you look at Rasmus and Jared Hansen, bargains, you know what I mean? Brendan Connolly was lights out, one of the best players in the league. Then we brought in Deuce to set, another friend of mine. Deuce was great when he came in, another amazing guy. And then you got the core of Glasgow guys there as well already. You got Woody and Pete and Sully and everybody, and they knew what it was all about. And, you know, and I think it just started to come together. Moose and, you know, little Howlett was there, and then Tansky done his job. You know, we could go through them all. You know, I thought it was a really good team. You know, I think budget-wise, I thought we spent our money really well, and I thought the biggest thing was, it was a team. That's why it done so well, and fans can feel that.
So when you look at that team under Pete that obviously was there, how do you compare that team with the teams that you've played with in the past? How high do you rank that team that Pete put together?
I think you've got to put it, obviously, just behind that Kiefer Meyers era, because they had a bit more success within the league because of the conference system and stuff. But as a team unity, I've never had a team unity like that. There's always been one or two guys that, you like in big groups, they don't really all fit in, but every single person fit in that group. It was just like,
no, Bex is a bit of a weirdo, isn't he? And Petty, they're weirdos, you know.
Bitsy just honking all the time. That just drowns him out.
And Gareth, from your point of view, did you see a difference in the team, the way it had lifted under Pete compared to the year before, where the results didn't go the team's way, missing out in the playoffs? You must have noticed a real better atmosphere, if I can say that.
Definitely. I think the year before was a bit of a disaster in so many ways. It didn't go well on the ice. The mix of guys that we had in the dressing room wasn't great. As Matty said before, sometimes you can have one or two bad apples in a room and it doesn't go well. And it was just one of those years under John, unfortunately, and we decided that we had to move on. And we knew that we had to bring somebody that could bring some identity and some togetherness. And Pete certainly brought that. And then just touching on what Pete said there before, I think, and Matty said it as well, I think Pete deserves a lot of credit for that year, because in the previous years we'd had the conference system, so you know that allowed us to probably overachieve at times. Under Pete, that was one of the first years of a conference system. So fourth was excellent. And taking into consideration the money we spent, would reduce the budget because we'd actually been the year before quite substantially. So we reduced the budget down, give it a bit of a kickstart again for the organisation, and we've done phenomenally well to finish fourth. Taking into consideration our budget was probably sixth or seventh in the league. It was phenomenal what happened, and it was a great year all around, very well.
Good stuff. Now, let's kind of change the subject slightly, Pete, putting more of a GB hat on, or whatever hat is that as you've got on right now. I listened back to...
What is that hat? I have to wear that. I've not had my hair cut. Well, I cut my hair myself one night.
I think it was a glam one, but he was scrubbing it off before he moved.
Yeah, probably.
It's a Dizzy Fish hat. It's a Dizzy Fish hat, isn't it? Gareth. Dizzy Fish hat.
Just go to my barber's. It's perfect.
Well, you've done well with yours. Mine's just not good at all. Do you want to see it?
Go on then. Let's see it.
Well, I cut it myself. Look, see the
stain. Oh, my word. What is that on the top?
So you ever seen that movie, Tropic Thunder?
Yes.
Simple Jack.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a bastard.
Well, there we go.
But anyway, that was really good when I've done that, because we'd had a few drinks and something to eat that night, and I was on a Zoom call and I went to the toilet and came back doing my haircut.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, right, I was going to ask you about GB, and I listened to the interview I did with you, Pete, when you got the clan job back when we went into the media room at Nottingham during the playoff weekend. And there was one quote that stuck out at me, and I want to ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot. One quote that leapt out: Haywood was great for me in the national team until he hurt his shoulder. You've never picked him again. How not?
I think it's the same for guys like Pete and that as well, and other Pete's a lot of players. You know, I think just the squad has got stronger and deeper. And I think, actually, I mean, it's not controversial saying it. I think Andy did play a part, then I think some other people come into it. And I think... I think over the next few years it might change again a little bit. I don't really know. It seems to be there was a hot period for like 3-4 years, and then it looks as if there's a few guys retiring, as if it's falling away again a little bit. But you know, sometimes it's just about being good at the right time. You know, and that's not being a good person, a good player. It's just being in a good spot and playing well and feeling good to get into those teams. I think that's the everybody asks you the questions. You know, and I think when you add like a Pellini or a somebody like that into the team, it pushes everybody down a spot as well. I think that happened a little bit. But, you know, it's tough. I done an interview the other week and I said the same thing. I don't get paid to do that job. You do it for free. And the hardest thing about the job is actually telling guys you actually like and fully respect they're not going.
Mm.
It's a nightmare.
Definitely, that's a tough one. But But again, going back, it was quite a year.
Did Hayward's dad send that in? And was that Hayward's dad that tweeted that to you?
No, that was mine. That was mine. But I mean, you and I have spoke about what happened in the World Championships last year, and obviously the manner and how you stayed up and things like that. Matt and Gareth, where were you when you watched it, and what was the emotions you were feeling watching Pete go through that?
Which part? Are we talking about the World Championships as a whole, or the France game?
Yeah, oh, just the France game. Yeah,
the France game. I was actually in London, so I was actually in London with Neil, the owner. Sitting in a hotel going through the plans for the following year, and there's Pete, I think you were 3-0 down with GB, sitting there, and then all of a sudden it's 3-3 and obviously the winner. It was fantastic. We all hooked our phones. We didn't have a TV around, so we couldn't watch it. So yeah, we hooked our phones to Twitter, and it was fantastic. Let's be honest, it's the other than the Olympics, it's the greatest achievement the national team's ever had. So it was really good to see, and let's see what the future brings now.
What about you, Matt? Where were you?
I think I watched the first period and a half, and then obviously we went like 3-0 down. So I think Jenny wanted to go to the World Championship. No, we're not going to win. So I obviously felt bad because you do watch it because you know the people and the friends, especially like people you've grown up with, like Bouncy and Benny Davis and obviously Ben O'Connor and things like that. So you do. I am watching it because I know these people and I want them to succeed. There's nothing like that. And I thought, well, I better put flashcards on just in case, because you know, like Liverpool did it in 2005. Sort of thing. One goes, two goes, and then I'm like, they're in overtime. And then I'm like, I just had a feeling that they were obviously going to win it, and I just had that feeling that Benny Davis was going to score just because he's had such a good tournament. Pete throws random people out whenever he has that feeling. Benny Davis shouldn't be out there over time anyway, but he gets these weird feelings in it, and he throws him out, and obviously he scores that goal, which is couldn't be happier. Couldn't happen to a nicer kid. So
there we go.
Thought you were going to say me there.
Well, I was on a bus going home from work, and I pretty much scared the passengers on the bus when Benny scored that overtime winner. And you know what? I regret nothing. Brilliant. It was a fantastic.
Probably scared of you already, anyway.
Excellent night it was. Excellent night.
Sure was. Sure was. So let's talk about the departure, Pete. You obviously moved on to Freiburg, as you kind of alluded to jokingly about fans not wanting you when you came, and they didn't want you to go in the end. In that decision last year, how much of a conflict was there within yourself to take that decision or stay with the clan? It must have really eaten you up for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was a tough one. Like, I think the first time I heard something was sometime in February, maybe early March. And I didn't really have any interest. I said no. Like, one thing I wanted to always say is I always wanted to try and push myself to as far as I could go at any chance, any point, like to try and be the best opportunity for me and my family, or me myself. Like, because when I played, I was an absolute clown. You know, I'd never behaved. I'd done everything the wrong way. And then when I started coaching, I would, like, people thought, why? And so did that first. And then I started getting into it. So when I started moving up and through the kids' ranks and then into the EPL, and then, you know, I went back a little bit to Okanagan to try and develop again. And I always had a goal that could I be a British coach that could go out of the country? Firstly, to get to the elite league, because there's not many in there either. So when it first came up, it was all no. There was not really any inside. Would you like to go? Yeah. Did I really think it was the right time? No, I didn't. And there was stuff going on at home as well. It's that. So it wasn't the right time. And then I think it was a playoff weekend, I think. And I got a text on the Thursday or the Friday. And then there was more texts coming, more and more, because the playoff they were in was coming to an end. And there was two teams interested, and then they put the money up a little bit, and then I spoke to Kate a little bit, and she was going through something at the same time, and she basically said, you know, so it's Kate's fault. She basically said, you know what, with us just now in our lives, maybe you should try it, because who knows what's going to happen. And it was kind of like really bad. Like, my wife had breast cancer, that was the bottom line of it. She was going in for an operation, everything else. And then it was like, I hadn't fully made in my head what I was going to do. And I knew that, like, the biggest thing is I liked the players. I'd already started recruiting the team. I'd let players go. And then, you know, I like Neil Black. Neil Black, for me, is a good guy, like, really good person, good family. I like Gareth, like Jerry, you know, everybody. So it was tough for me to, you know, the OSC as well were amazing to me in Glasgow. Like, I connected with them. The first time I met them, I was actually terrified of them. But then after that, I really liked them. A lot of good people. The fans were amazing. And it was tough. But you know what? Now, it was the right thing to do for myself, selfishly. It was the right thing to do for my family just as well. You know, there's there's just little things, and it's, you know, it was. I just felt if I didn't take that chance this time, would it ever come again? That's what it came to. And, you know, and I took it, and I think the hardest thing was, you know, I told Gareth, and Gareth was really good about it at first. Well, he was disappointed, but he was good. Like, he kind of understood a little bit, but he was pissed, right? There's the word. He was not happy, all right? Then the next stage was I had to tell Neil. So I got Gareth to tell Neil. And so Gareth, Neil wasn't, I don't think Neil was very happy, and I don't blame him, you know, because they were looking after me. They tried everything to make it work, you know what I mean? And it just, in my heart, you know, I went. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I was at World Championships, and two weeks later, Neil sent me a message asking me again would I reconsider to stay. And he gave me an offer that was an offer they wouldn't pay a coach, and it was a crazy offer. And I thought about it for 2 hours, and I just said, you know what, it's not about money. And it wasn't about money. You know, that's the thing. It wasn't all about money. But, yeah, it was tough, and I've talked about it 1,000 times. And, you know, and I know people were mad at me, and they're probably still disappointed, but I had a wonderful time in Glasgow. It was great for me personally. You know, the national teams were unreal for me. But Glasgow, the reason I didn't go the year before to Glasgow, the truth, was I wasn't ready to come then. I would have failed that year. I don't think I hadn't coached an elite league yet, except being an assistant, and I wasn't ready. I hadn't made enough mistakes to come to Glasgow. And funny, actually, when I said to Gareth I wasn't coming, he goes, can you call Neil Black? I said, all right. He sent me a number. I called Neil, and Neil said, I'll tell you what, Peter, I'm not mad at all. I know you, I like the way you've just decided. He goes, and what you've said is great. And he goes, and it's probably good for you to make mistakes there first before you come, but you will come one day. And he was right. And then when I did come, it was the right time. I was confident enough to come. GB had just had a great time. I was coming off the back of, you know, really a long pre-season, because pre-season started in February in Milton Keynes, so I knew I was leaving. So it was kind of chilled out, and I knew what was happening. I was just waiting for the next thing. And then Glasgow was I remember the first day I got there, I came to a hockey school in Manchester, and I had to go to a... Was Woody at that? Woody, did I go to you to the David Lloyd's place?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it
Fitzy? Yeah.
And they went to a place in the town. So we had to go to the...
It was the OSC quiz. It would have been the OSC quiz.
Yeah, we went to a quiz, and I was thinking, oh, what's this? When I walked in, I couldn't believe how many people were there. And that was me just arrived in Glasgow. My wife brought me up from my hockey school. And then that night, Jerry and Gareth had arranged they asked, do you want to take the team out? I said, yeah. And we went to a really cool place in Glasgow. And you could tell that night there was something good happening. You know, there was something coming together as a group. And I think I just got kind of lucky, you know, really lucky. But, you know, sometimes in sport and in business, that offers come along and you take them. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Last year, it definitely worked for me, you know, and we see what happens now.
Now, Matt, you've known Pete since you were 12, 13 years old, whatever it was. And Pete coming in, you know, one of, dare I say, many coaches the clan have had through the years, unfortunately. How much did you enjoy working with Pete, you know, in the style that he had? How much did that influence you?
I think the main thing is it felt like a national team room. It sounds weird to say this, but like, the GB set up through 18s, 20s, seniors has all been the same. We're all similar kids. We shouldn't really be playing hockey, sort of thing. So you just go and you have a laugh, and it's so, you know, it's sort of, you're with your friends you've grown up with, and everyone's just so would do anything for each other. Whereas as soon as I moved to Glasgow, maybe there's ulterior motives. People want to just play for money. People want to play to move on. So not it's not about the team. And I feel like that season, everybody, even like even your top point scorers, you pick these Becks, Cons, they would be blocking shots. They would like Matt Beck has never blocked as many shots in his entire life that year. I'm pretty sure I've seen Pity backcheck a couple of times that season too. So I think that obviously that's the main compliment I can give. You know, he brings his team together that not only will fight for him, but they want to fight for each other. Whereas like Collins would want to do it for Mac, and Moose would want to do it for Rumps. You know, just like people that shouldn't be in the same room on a normal day-to-day basis would want to go to war with each other, and that's what he brings. He brings that attitude in, and it's very, very hard to find that.
Right. Well, before we've got some questions from fans, Pete. I know you were looking forward to this in particular. what's your standout clan moment from your time at the club, Pete?
Oh, the Cardiff away game in the cup. I think because it was a tough week. Decided that I was going to let Josh Grattan go, and I knew the fans would be happy, a lot of them, because he was scoring goals. I like Josh, great guy, you know, good fun. But it wasn't working, and for me, it wasn't working at that time. So that was a huge moment to let such a big name leave, especially on a Friday. We're travelling to Cardiff for the second leg of the Cup. And then to go down there, and again, all the stuff Woody's talked about, the first minute was about finding who the character was and finding trying to infect people with the system, and you know, and the biggest part of the system is everybody has to be going and working hard. And to go there and a guy down, play the way we played, and kill the penalties we killed, and then scoring a 3-5 and overtime to win was pretty. I think that was great. You know, I thought that was for me. That's one of the biggest results of the season. I think I thought that for any team, that's a huge result. Like they wanted to win that Cardiff, no doubt, but they were peppering us, and we had a great bus journey back from there. But I think that game, maybe Woody would agree. Oh, well, Woody scored the one and goal, actually. Woody was on the 5-3. And then I think that game is a catalyst. You know what's funny when you have a team? Like sometimes the smallest adjustment or the adjustment no one thinks with something or people or, you know, a schedule or can change a whole environment. And I think from that moment was the time we went on that run. I think that's when it clicked, and then, you know, we're going. It gave us mass confidence. You know, we could go anywhere. Well, you can go to Cardiff, and we're down maybe down 2 imports that night, I think, actually. I think we had a couple of people up, and we go in there and come out of there. We need to win by 2, I think. And to come out of there scoring 3-5 to win was ridiculous. 3-5, we ended up with actually nearly a 2-0 out of it. I can't remember how it happened. But I think
That was definitely the changing point in the season, letting Grattan go, and then that weekend. Just a funny story. I can remember Pete calling me. I think it was the Friday morning, and I think it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, which was extremely early for me. And he said, "Just to let you know, I've decided that today we're going to let Josh Grattan go. Good luck. I'm going to send him up to the office at 10 o'clock." So he said, "Over to you. You can let him know." I was like, "Okay." And then, go on. What are you going to say? Sorry.
I think it's always tough letting any player go on. Do you know what? At that time, it just wasn't.
It was the right decision, though. It was the right decision.
But I like Josh Grattan. Really like him. I respect him.
He's a good guy.
Man, you know, he's a great guy. And it's always tough. And he took it fine, you know. But it's funny how you think it could be a moment that could go against you as well, and it never. It went for us, and I just think. As a team, like, I just think even at night, that team was Matt Hayward scores a winning goal, and he scored some goals for me over the years, like in certain times. But I think that tells you, you know, you're 5-3, and Mr. Clan scores, you know, and I think that's a really cool thing. Do you know what I mean? I really think that moment was great, and there was a lot of good moments. We had a good year, like there was great moments, you know. And I think that bus journey back was one of the best laughs we had in ages. Like,
I remember that. Obviously, I think was it Friday you let Josh Gratz go? It was the other weekend anyway, and then we went down on the bus, and we were. It was a weird bus journey the way down because obviously we're down one or two from that first leg. We're like, what? We're obviously a couple of people down, and everyone's like, you know, when you get a little couple of comments like, here we go, sort of thing. Could be 6-7-8-0 here tonight. Blah blah blah. And I remember being in the room, and Pete comes in, and we all just like, you know, when you just look back, and it was like that moment is where it all just clicked, like we said, a catalyst. But I remember Pete saying, like, from now, this is how people are going to judge that decision we've made. So if I'm one or two goals down in Cardiff, what have we actually got to lose? Why don't we go and see what we're made of? Why don't people step up who don't normally get ice time, step up, see what we can do? And I think we went one or two up, and then they clawed a couple back, and then I think we were kind of looking around, and then Travis scored on that power play. I think he's got a big slap shot from the point. And it was one of them games that you just knew you weren't going to lose. Every time that we went down, we looked dangerous, and every time Rumps played unbelievable that game. I know we let in four or whatever, but they had about 50, 60 shots. And it was just one of them games that everything was going your way. Just felt like, and then obviously the next day, I think we played Belfast at home, did we, the next day, and we won that. So
yeah, we beat them as well.
That was the start of that 2020 game winning streak we went on.
Fantastic. Right, so let's get to the fans' questions. We're starting to run out of time a little bit. David Arthia is asking you, Pete, what changes would you suggest to improve the British League? We could be here all day with that one, but on you go.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I liked about Germany is how many German players play. I think it's hard to change that straight away, but I think that I really like the structure. Like, I know it's the league we're in, there's only four imports. The league above, there's eight imports. I like that. I wish we could cut it a little bit. I think the standard of hockey in the UK is brilliant because there's, you know, there's a lot of good players in it. It's, every night's a gamer. It's competitive. I just think the biggest message outside of that comment is the development side has to be better so they start making players again. People say they don't get an option, but an opportunity. But where are they? You know, I think we have to get better at that. We have a lot of ice rinks. There's a lot of good hockey people. I think we just have to try and really fix that, try and make that a little bit better.
Raymond Monaghan has asked, from what you've seen of the player development systems in Germany, and I suppose that touches on what you've already said, what takeaways are there British hockey could look to realistically adopt in both the short and longer term? Well, I think you've kind of touched on the longer term aspect.
I think over there, there's a lot of, there's three leagues over there. And like, if you think about it, there's 14 teams in the two top leagues, and there's two divisions in the league below. So there's a lot of players, you know what I mean? There's a lot of junior systems. But I think we could mirror some ways of that by making more excellence programs and regions, I think. I think working with the best players first and then working with the coaches to make club teams better, I just think it's such an achievable thing, and it's probably a 5-year basis to get it going, but I wish we could do something with that. And I think now, the way it is right now with the economy, we might have to try and do something, you know, because the money's just not going to be there all the time.
Thomas Nevitt asked a GB question. What would have been the aim for the GB team if the World Championships had gone ahead this year? I think I know what your answer is going to be on this one.
You're just trying to stay up. I mean, we are punching way above what we should be, and the players deserve every credit they get. They've been amazing. You know, we've had our luck along the way as well, but it's been a crazy ride, you know, from the third pool to the top pool within 2 years. And I think for us, again, would have been just to stay where we are. Like, even you look at the teams we're going to play, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So it would have been, again, the same. Try and be competitive every game. Try and pick points up if we can.
And I think last one from me, certainly, in terms of when you came back to Glasgow last year with Freiburg for the friendly games, how nervous were you?
Yeah, I wasn't really looking forward to it. You know, Gareth and Woody will tell you, inside I'm quite a soft person, do you know what I mean? And I care, but I love Glasgow. It's not that there was no plan, there was no get me out, there was nothing like that. Something came at work and I wanted to try it. And, you know, and the exit clause was there and they paid the money and I went. But Glasgow was fantastic to me. Every time my wife and daughter came there, they were looked after by the club, the fans, everybody. I loved their team. I coached there. The players were just amazing. There's no bad relationships with everybody. It was just a really good year. I loved the people around the rink. And I felt for the first minute I got there to the last minute, I made people smile in Glasgow after a bit. And I made sure I went out of my way to speak to everybody in the rink. And, you know, Bernie, Bruce and everybody, I made sure I went and said hello to everybody every day because they deserved it. They put a lot of time in, Craig, you know, around the back, all those people. The rink staff, you know, I went into the girls upstairs and everything, you know, the laughs I had with them was brilliant. I used to make sure I got my way to go and see them. I think it was just a really good time there. And well, I look back in years to come and think I should have done it a bit longer, probably. But I might have looked back in years to come and said I'd never get a chance to go to Europe and try my luck, you know. And you know, maybe one day again sometime, who knows. Maybe I come back and then maybe I go there again. I don't know. You never know. I never say never.
I can tell you he was nervous, Craig. He was come up to me before the game. He said, Are they going to boo me? I said, absolutely, they're going to boo me.
I remember when they called the name out, and I knew they were going to do it when they called the name out, and Pitty and Becker were in the blue line booing me. But it was, it was just, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry the way it all happened. But I honestly thank everybody, even the little things after it, the messages people sent my wife and everyone's just going through that time with stuff. Like, there's just so many nice people there. Like, it's a great hockey club. I think actually Basilio in his comment got it wrong, what he thinks of Glasgow. By him saying, I seen the thing, it was out, it's more of a franchise. I would say Glasgow's got a real feel to it with people. I don't think that's true. I think the loyal fans, the staff, the match night staff, the office staff, and I think, of course, the OSC and the rink staff, they make it feel like a little family up there. It's more of a family club than people think it is. And I don't think, unless you go there, you realise that.
Yeah.
Okay, just before we say our farewells, just a quick shout for the OSC. They've got a quiz night coming up on Friday, the 19th of June, 7:30 p.m. All at home, of course, via Zoom and Speed Quizzing app. £10 per household. You could win a £100 cash prize. So have a look at that on Twitter, Clan OSC, with our quiz night coming very soon. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Gareth, thank you for stepping in for Jerry at short notice. Matt Haywood, pleasure again. Pete, thank you so much for your time. Good to hear from you again. All the best in Germany next season. And that's us for Clan Chat for this week, and we'll be back next week. Bye for now.